ABC Grandstand.
You're listening to ABC Grandstand's Hens FC.
Hens FC.
On ABC Local Radio.
Hello and welcome to Hens FC, your spot on ABC Grandstand where girls talk about sport. And just if you haven't heard a bunch of girls getting together and having a natter about sport, you're really missing out on something. And it's something we've discovered over the last couple of years. There are more and more women who not only want to do it, but have amazing insight. And I've got a panel full of such women today. Carla Zawocki, netballer with the New South Wales Swifts. And this is your first appearance on the show, isn't it, Carla?
It is. I'm very excited. I think since I've walked in here, we haven't stopped talking about sports. So very excited to keep the conversation going.
I know. They've been talking about sport in the next room for about 15 minutes, so they've got a head start on me, although I was kind of busy talking about sport on air and cracking the codes at the time. So Carla is with us, and we've also got a return hen, first repeat performance for Helen O'Neill, who's involved in all sorts of football, Northern New South Wales. She does sports comment a few mornings a week on 1233 Newcastle with Aaron Carney, and former trainer and conditioner in the NRL?
Yeah, hi Deb, with the Newcastle Knights, particularly the SG Ball and the Harold Matts, when Jared Mullen, Luke Walsh and the likes were coming through, Cade Snowden.
Okay, that should come in handy, some of your background in that area of preparing footballers, on one of our topics later today. And Maria Cialis from Big League Magazine. You've been here so many times, Maria, but welcome back, always great to have you.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll start just by finding out what the panel have been up to, what they've been watching, what they've been involved in, and what interesting developments in the world of sport surround them. Now, Carla, I know one of the interesting things that's happened with the New South Wales Swifts is your coach is gone and she's been replaced with a male coach in the National Netball League, or the Trans-Tasman Championship.
Yeah, change at the helm. Shame to see Lisa go. I really enjoyed her coaching styles, but very excited to see Rob Wright come on board. He's I've had him as an assistant coach for a number of years now, and also had him as my head coach for A&L. So I think he's got a lot to give. I think he'll be fantastic. He's got a lot of knowledge in the performance analysis side of things, and I think it's very exciting.
The reaction though to a man coach? I mean, it's the flip side of the usual kind of, I guess, gender stereotyping that a lot of us encounter.
Yeah, I think more so just speaking with everyone this morning, I haven't really thought too much about it, just because I think Rob's been in the fold for such a long time, and I just think, oh, it's Rob. But it's definitely a big development in sport, and especially in netball, being the first male coach in ANZ Championships. So I think there will be a few eyes on him, but I definitely think he's got a lot to give, and perhaps having not so many women in the one place and having a man at the helm might change a bit of the dynamics. So it's interesting. I'm looking forward to being involved in it and seeing how it all does unfold.
What do Maria and Helen think of male coach in the netball?
It was interesting. Last time I was on the show with you, Deb, we were talking about the new CEO at the Bulldogs being a female. So today we have role reversal, gender reversal, if you like. Yeah, well, he has been subservient to women coaches for a number of years.
So I like the word.
I think he might be qualified.
Yeah, so you think he's done his time, and it's great. I actually like the fact that the way Lisa put that, Carla put that, it's she didn't think of him as a guy because it's just Rob. And I mean, in the end, it's so much better when people are judged on what you know of them and their ability rather than, you know, their gender.
Yeah, definitely. And as I said, he's been in the fold a long time, and what he's offered to us as an assistant coach has been fantastic. His analysis and his breakdown of the game is really good, and I know the girls have a lot of respect for him. So being around him for so many years and seeing what he's done, I think the responsibility of him to step up from the assistant coach to the head coach will be a great opportunity for him, and I think he'll handle it really well. So we look forward to 2014 and see what he can do. He's already attracted a couple of good signings for us, so it's exciting for us, definitely.
What about other news from netball? Helen, you were saying that something's caught your eye that you wanted to ask Carla about.
Yes, I was interested to receive a press release through the week about Cath Cox withdrawing from the international series currently underway. The Australian team's in camp as we speak, and they named the side tonight for the excuse me. However, Cath Cox has decided that she'd like to take a rest and save herself for the 2014 Commonwealth Games and the 2015 World Netball Championship. So how did players suddenly start deciding when to take a rest and when they might be then considered almost a lay-down mazare for selection?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I think it's something perhaps, I don't know, if it's just preserving the body maybe and things like that. But, I know as a player you put your hand up for everything and you make yourself available, and international exposure is invaluable in the competition. And I think especially forming a side and getting some combinations and getting a team together for the championships and looking ahead, we need to start building now. So you'd think this is an important championship or important series that you'd put your hand up for. So, yeah, I was very interested to read that as well. And I hope it's not an opportunity that she's opening the door for someone else, because I know there'll be someone else chomping at the bit to do it. I know I'd love to put my hand up for it, so you don't sit down for things like that.
And it's against the Silver Ferns. Who would ever knock back that? You know, that's the ultimate contest almost in world netball.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's interesting. And I guess that puts a little bit of pressure on her for the 2014 series, that you don't just you don't select yourself, that's for sure. And I guess she'll have to put out a big performance in the ANZ Championship Series again next year to
you better give it plenty of ball in if she comes back.
Wow.
So, Helen, what's been occupying your sporting space in the last week or so?
I've been enjoying the cricket, Deb, particularly the performance of Michael Clarke. I sort of think at times he might run with both the hares and the hounds, you know, and I think this has been his answer to saying, well, all right, I'll let my bat do the talking and I will lead by example, excuse me, and I'll show perhaps any doubters out there that I can do the job and take others along with me. So his performance, taking along Steve Smith and probably player Brad Haddin, who doesn't get all the accolades he perhaps deserves. He was there at the end of the last test nurturing Pattinson through, and here he was again last night carrying the bat. So I think it's great to see the Poms, and there was something on Twitter today by one Swan, I think it was, who said, oh, well, all we need to do now is go out, hit the runs up and make them chase us in the next innings. Joking. Yes, we've done it.
Swanee's always joking on Twitter. That's one of the great things about him. Maria Cialis, have you got time for anything else crammed into the busy rugby league season?
No, it's rugby league all the time.
You tried to watch the cricket and been falling asleep?
I try to, yeah, especially on the weekend. Like tonight I've got to go to Parramatta, and, anyone who sits through Parramatta games knows how draining they can be. So I'm sure I'll go home, try and sit up and watch it and just fall asleep on the couch.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, I saw you bobbed up in one of the Sunday papers last week with a group of women rugby league reporters who'd been interviewed by the paper, and the thing that absolutely amazed me was I knew all the women that were there, and in fact, most of all, quite a few of them have been on HenzFC at different times. The paper decided to ask you all a quiz about rugby league to prove how much you knew about the game. How did you feel about that?
Initially, I sort of saw where they were coming from. They just wanted to put it out there that we do know a lot about rugby league. But
they wouldn't take that for granted.
Yeah. Exactly. And you wouldn't ask the male journalists whether or not they know about rugby league, because you just assume that they have the right body parts, so they must. and the questions, I don't know if you read them, they were actually very, very difficult. Stuff that, you know, I sort of said, well, David Middleton would know these off the top of his head, but I don't know who else would.
Yeah, it was more like a rugby league trivia quiz rather than actually something that would show your understanding of the game or your ability to analyse. It was just a matter of whether you could hold a bunch of facts in your head, I gathered.
Exactly. One of the questions was South Sydney beat the Roosters by the biggest margin in how many years in 2009? Where was the last time they won by 50 points? Who knows that? Unless you look it up, which is what we all do on a daily basis if we need that information. But it was multiple choice, and we sort of all banded together and sort of said, no, we're doing this together and we're going to put our heads together and struggled through, and I think eventually we did all right. But
I think it was, what, 17 out of 20 or something. Yeah, so no, you did fine. But, yeah, it just amazed me, A, that there was some sort of need to put a quiz to you all to demonstrate your knowledge of the game. And as I said, the questions that were put together also almost demonstrated that whoever had put the questions together didn't really understand what it takes to report on the game. But anyway,
we might do that at the netball, Carla.
I think even if you were to quiz me about how we went a number of years and what the biggest margins was, I wouldn't even know that stuff. Yeah. So,
well, it's the same reason that a stat sheet doesn't tell you the full story of a game. For exactly the same reason, just holding a lot of facts in your head about results or scores or club records doesn't actually mean you understand the game either. But anyway, not to worry. It was nice to see all your familiar smiling faces in the Sunday paper anyway, and at least now when they do a story on women rugby league reporters, there's several of them there, and you can think of several others that they've missed out, like Shannon Byrne, for instance, from Grandstand, definitely. Probably should have been there as well. In any case, we're going to move on to talk about some of the big topics in the week in sport, and we're also going to be doing an interview in about 15 minutes from now. We're going to catch up with the Australian pole vaulter Alana Boyd, who unfortunately has had to pull out of the World Championships that start in Moscow next week, but we might get a few thoughts from her on what to expect and what to look forward to in those World Athletics Championships. All that's still to come. You're listening to Hens FC with Carla Zawocki, Helen O'Neill and Maria Cialis.
Exclusive to ABC Shops and Centres this month, on DVD, pre-order Professor Brian Cox's Wonders of Life.
It was one of the most awe-inspiring sights I've ever seen.
In the Bletchley Circle DVD, four women crack a killer's code.
He's making a pattern. If we can crack it, we can catch him.
Also, the beauty of Australia's remote islands, and transform your home from shabby to chic with the DVD of Kirsty's Vintage Home. All exclusively available from ABC Shops, Centres and ABC Shop Online.
You're listening to ABC Grandstand's Hens FC.
Hens FC.
On ABC Local Radio.
Good morning, welcome to Offsiders. Well, the investigation into the use of performance-enhancing drugs at Essendon has claimed another victim. The CEO and the football manager had already gone, and now last night the chairman, David Evans, followed them out the door.
As I understand it, Evans had considered resigning from the position on a couple of occasions over the past 5 months. He was convinced to see it through until at least the tabling of the ASADA report. But in the aftermath, the postscript was he suffered a physical breakdown in the rooms that required sort of sustained medical attention.
Interim Cronulla Sharks CEO Bruno Cullen will stand down from the role tomorrow. Cullen had been appointed by the NRL to run the Sharks in March in the wake of the ASADA drugs investigation.
The club has decided to reinstate SAC trainer Mark Noakes and is considering the potential return of football manager Darren Mooney. The board's actions were contrary to the advice of chief executive Bruno Cullen.
I believe people at the NRL thought generally that if you've got this ongoing ASADA investigation, that probably best to let that run its course.
In a further blow for the Sharks, former player Isaac Gordon is suing the club, claiming he suffered severe side effects from the Sharks supplements program.
You mentioned the term guinea pig. Is that the way he was used?
We believe so.
In the Herald Sun this morning, Essendon's controversial supplements program was driven by a suspicion other clubs were pushing the boundaries and had become biologically advanced.
In an emotional interview on Seven last night, Dean Robinson accused Bombers coach James Hurd of being the driving force in the club's controversial injections program.
They put a scenario to Steve, and Steve said to Danny and James, specifically to them, what you're asking me to do is black ops. I was sitting in the room. Should have we been more protective? Maybe. But the leadership group didn't have an issue with this. Only one player out of Essendon didn't want to be involved. Who was that? David Tsarakis. Who challenges James Hurd at Essendon? I tried a couple of times, but I learned pretty quickly that was something you don't do. If it was honourable, he'd stand down.
It was a really damning hour of television.
I watched the needle take another man. Gone, gone, the damage done.
It's so complex and so difficult and so emotional it's becoming, not just with Cronulla, when you hear them talking, but with Essendon as well, when you hear anybody connected with either of those clubs, at the moment, this is becoming a nasty boil.
What a week. Two CEOs gone in the wake of the ASADA investigations, a court case pending, a player accusing basically his health being put at risk by the supplements program at Cronulla. And that interview, which we only saw snippets of in New South Wales, but obviously it was about an hour program in Victoria, where Dean Robinson talked about what his version of events at Essendon and the supplement use had been. Now, Maria Cialis, as someone who writes for Big League magazine, I imagine this saga has occupied a lot of your thinking time this year. What do you make of the latest developments?
Obviously very interesting. I read the Isaac Gordon. He said that he had blood thinning disorder, I believe, and he has photos of his severe bruising and things around his legs. They let him go last year, which I find quite interesting as well. It's just never ending. And I think it's also interesting to note that that the club basically admitted that they had to apologise to the four blokes they let go because they didn't have enough money for unlawful dismissal cases that might come against them.
But
so.
But then Bruno Cullen, who was the very experienced and respected CEO that was put in there by the NRL, he's left. Are you hearing some of the reports that I read said that if Cronulla now go back to the NRL and say we need money to help fight this battle, that the NRL are going to say, well, look, you let the guy go that we put in there to help you. Is it going to have backlash potential like that?
I believe so. And I believe all the other clubs in the competition are looking at the situation very closely because they believe if Cronulla get money and get help, that they should also get money and get help, obviously for different reasons. So it has a potential. I mean, it's already very, very bad, but it has potential to get a lot worse. And I feel like the longer it's dragging out, that every time we come up to do a Cronulla story at the magazine, we just sort of think, wow, you know, which players are we talking to? Which players can we talk to? How can we talk about footy and the positive stuff that sometimes happens on the field when all this other stuff is happening around it?
Are you watching the Essendon case in terms of how it informs perhaps what might be ahead at Cronulla? Or, I mean, has that sort of been of interest to you?
I've been watching it very closely. I think what's particularly interesting, the fans, the Essendon fans, I think I was reading today on Twitter, they went to an open training session and they were chanting about how much they love James Hurd and supporting him. And seems like it's a completely sort of different reaction. Not that the fans aren't getting behind Cronulla, but I think in rugby league they just sort of feel like they're floating and waiting and waiting, whereas maybe they're getting backed a bit more in the AFL. So, definitely watching that. And I think the report perhaps yesterday?
It was handed over to the AFL last night, an interim report from ASADA, and their lawyer appeared last night, or their legal counsel, or whatever title he gives himself, somebody, Dylan? Yes. He said that he would be reading the report and they would in due course pass it on to Essendon. So obviously a lot more to come there. Now, Helen O'Neill, as a former trainer and conditioner at a football club, how have you seen it? Have you seen it differently, you think, from perhaps how the media are reporting it?
I've probably taken a political interest in it as well, Deb. If I recall when it was first announced under Prime Minister Julia Gillard, and the then Sports Minister Kate Lundy was quite instrumental in announcing it with players from both codes, and was quite strong in what she had to say, how the government would get behind this. And now, with the demise of Gillard and a new sports minister coming on the scene in Don Farrell, we haven't even heard a word from the government on this. So to me, it was fairly politically driven, of course, as to set up by, it's a government organisation. So I'm disappointed on that front that most people don't even know who Don Farrell is, let alone have seen his face, let alone have heard a comment about this. But going back to tying that in with the then football club, I think players are always after an edge, but certainly I have never seen any impropriety of what the likes we're hearing about now. That's not burying my head in the sand or whatever, but I've always been a believer in good weight training. Players all take supplements. You know, the big companies sponsor the football clubs. But in terms of what the likes of Dean Robinson is coming out and he's now saying that he can bear all and it isn't sour grapes, well, you do have to balance that equation up, don't you? I mean, he's lost his job. And if he was felt so strongly about it and was ethical, then did he have a hand in any of this, as has been alleged? Mm-hmm. So I think, as I can just recap, the government, I think, is failing on this in that they're not making a stand. And I also think that...
What would you expect the government to do, though?
Oh, well, they were the ones, I think, that initiated it.
Yes, I can understand people were sort of, they kind of seemed to
yeah,
you know...
Kate Lundy just blew onto the scene. Suddenly we had this massive announcement.
They put it all into sort of the big spotlight.
Yes.
And now the government have backed away. But I don't know. I gather that ASADA, just sort of plodding away, trying to put piece together the information that they need. What I'm curious, though, about is that the whole idea of supplements and the talk of... Obviously, if you're trying to get an edge on other clubs and you're prepared to push the envelope by hiring people who you think are cutting-edge sports scientists, surely you check where the line is.
Oh, well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, but the fact is the prominent sports scientist who has been mentioned in all this has gone from club to club to club. So it does beg the question, what you're asking is surely you check out their referrals and their credentials, but has that gone through because of the promise of what they can do and them saying, well, my track record shows that I produce bigger, stronger, faster players, and was that enough? So maybe there's, you know, negligence on the side of the clubs not checking for those finer details.
I think it's hard for the players as well, because often they're in the system for a long time, they trust everyone around them. Maybe someone new comes in and the doctor says, hey, we're going to give you this, and they go, oh, really? But they trust the doctor, so...
Yeah, but...
I know what you're saying.
I want to ask Carla about this too, as someone who's in a sporting team. I know, and I've heard that, and having worked at a football club myself, I've got some sympathy. But then I look and I think, well, we couldn't wait to pounce on, for instance, the Chinese swimming team. Mm-hmm. They were young teenage kids in a fairly autocratic kind of country in a program which probably gave them all sorts of privileges that they would lose if they stepped away, even going right back to the East German swimming team.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Again, sort of a very sort of strict protocol of behaviour run by the state. I mean, we didn't say, oh, well, they didn't have a choice. They were just told to do it, and they probably didn't believe it. Carla, how do you feel as a netballer watching the way people react to what's happening to the footballers?
Yeah, and I'm going to probably sound like I'm sitting on the fence here, which I don't mean to, but I have empathy for the footballers in this situation, that you think someone comes in, they're wearing your official team shirt, and they're here where... I'm on your side. We're looking to get fitter, faster, stronger. And I know what we look at netball too is what can we do that's different from the other clubs? What can we do to get the edge to win this grand final?
You take supplements?
I don't actually. I don't take supplements. I know I probably should at my age and things like that, just to make sure that I'm recovering properly. But this is also the thing in our sport. We don't have the funding to bring in those kind of things. So at the end of a training session, we have sustagen and things like that. So we're very low level. We are looking at supplement programs, and we are encouraged to take protein and things like that after our training sessions to look after our muscles and things like that. But we certainly don't have anyone in that puts together a supplement program for us. But so I do have empathy in that fact, that if someone came in wearing my official Swift shirt, they're employed here, they apparently have the research behind them and they're putting together a program. But on the flip side to that, we are always encouraged with ASADA and the testing that you have to be aware of what you're taking. And at the end of the day, the responsibility comes back to you as an athlete to know what you're taking and to be aware of what's going into your body. And
so, well, what do you have seen happen over the last several months? Would that make you more likely now to check.
Oh, without
not,
a doubt.
Not to necessarily just because someone works for your club.
No, definitely. And that's where the responsibility comes back. I know with injuries and when I go to the doctor, I'm very much like, I say, I play netball, I get tested. Can I have this? And I make them look at a book. I make them check all that kind of things. And that's the responsibility. I've called ASADA. I've called the hotline a number of times. And a lot of the supplements, they can't tell you what's in it. And I get nervous on that. And I err on the side of caution and I won't take things.
What happens when you ring the ASADA hotline? I guess I've never done it, and I guess most of our listeners would never have done it. What happens?
You have to say whether you're a player, whether you're a coach. You state what your position is in your sport. They do ask for your sport. They don't ask for your name or anything like that, but they ask for that information. You can also do it online, which is handy as well, that you're sitting there, you're looking at supplements and you can punch in what it is and it will come out whether it's banned or not banned. So it's a very easy system to use. But it is the supplements. It can't be guaranteed. And that's the scary part that's where you have to take caution. And as an athlete, I'd err on the side of caution and not take it. And this year I've been tested. The ASADA were very prominent in our sport. Whenever we were playing, there was pretty much a representative there. And so I don't know if that's also heightened their involvement in testing, because the year before I didn't get tested. I didn't really see ASADA out there. So I don't know if they're putting the spotlight on all sports.
They've probably got your number, seeing you ring them so often.
Yeah, that's right, on speed dial. They didn't rock up at my house at 6 a.m., which was nice. But, they are around, and the responsibility does come back to us as an athlete. So, yes, there's someone wandering around your club and saying, this is what we're going to do to get fitter, faster, stronger. But at the end of the day, it does come back to the athletes that you have to make sure you know what you're putting in your body.
One of the other telling bits of information that was in that little package I played earlier was the fact that even though what you're all saying is to a point, you work at you're playing for a club, and so the staff are people that you trust and tell you to do things, and most of the times you do. David Zaharakis, who is one of the sort of high profile players at Essendon, refused to take these supplements. Doesn't that show you that, therefore, when I've been at football clubs, if a senior player does something, it usually frees up the others to kind of go, oh, okay. So he said no. Often they'll all go along if everyone else is doing it. But if you've got a senior player, to me, that shows that the option was there to say no, which I think is telling anyway.
Do they really have put James Hurd up as a god? So I think that'll be a very interesting case to
do you think continue. He's going to survive?
No.
What about you, Maria?
No, I don't think so.
It does appear as if the storm clouds are gathering and concentrating right above his head at the moment. So a very, very difficult week. And I just get the feeling, like I said, for a lot of this year, it's a lot has been speculation, but this week that's just ended, there was actually a lot of damage done, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Two CEOs going and
probably iced by Stuart O'Grady coming out and throwing the spotlight back on yet another sport and another hero.
Yes. Well, we'll be talking very shortly to Alana Boyd from Athletics. And let me say, the world of athletics, I imagine, but there may not be very much sympathy at all for footballers, given how strenuously drug testing is carried out these days in athletics. We'll talk to her shortly. And still to come, interesting comments by Gary Player this week, who's, I don't know, decided to give some advice to Rory McIlroy. We'll get to that. And also, we're going to have another instalment of Pecking Order later on in the show. You're on Hens FC. My panel today, Carla Zawocki, Helen O'Neill and Maria Cialis.
August 10 to 18 is National Science Week, and marine scientists need your help to explore the seafloor. All you need is an internet connection, and you can be a citizen scientist observing the fascinating life in our oceans. Just go to scienceweek.net.au to get involved in this important project and win prizes. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So dive in and start exploring National Science Week.
on ABC Grandstand.
You're listening to ABC Grandstand's Hens FC.
Hens FC.
On ABC Local Radio.
Online and on Grandstand Digital.
And just a reminder that Hens FC is available as a podcast through the iTunes store. You can also go to the ABC Grandstand website, stream it live or download it later. And you can also listen to a replay. It goes nationally on Grandstand Digital at midday on Mondays. And Grandstand Digital is available via a phone app if you don't already have the ABC Grandstand or the ABC phone app, which gives you access to Grandstand Digital. Go to the ABC website and check it out. It's very good. It's what I use. Now, Alana Boyd is a Commonwealth Games gold medalist in the pole vault. She's competed at the last two World Championships in track and field. That was in 2011 and 2007. And she made the final at the London Olympics last year in the pole vault. So she joins us now because the World Athletics Championships 2013 version getting underway next weekend. Alana, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Fine. Now, you've unfortunately had to pull out of the World Championships this time around. Firstly, tell us what happened and you know, what you've been doing prior to the injury.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just got back to Australia on Wednesday and I've had to withdraw because of an Achilles injury. I've been battling that for the last kind of 7 or 8 weeks, and it's just been kind of the band-aid approach managing it into the World Championships, but it has affected my training in terms of the amount of running and jumping that I've been able to do. And it actually got to a point in a competition a couple of weeks ago in Europe where I was in a lot of pain, and I guess thoughts of further damaging the tendon and, you know, possibly permanently damaging a tendon, you know, kind of creep into your mind then. And, you know, I still want another few years of my pole vaulting career and leading into Rio and obviously Commonwealth Games next year and defending my title. And, I think my decision was made and I was forced to come back to Australia and make the smart decision and get healthy. So unfortunately I won't be there next week but I'll be cheering the rest of the team on.
And Steve Hooker is not involved this time either, is he?
No, he's not. He and his wife have actually had a baby not too long ago, so he's busy otherwise, but he's still training and plans to come back for the Australian season next year and then Commonwealth Games. So hopefully we can have both of us on the team again next year.
Yes, our pole vault strength a little bit down for these coming World Championships. But look, before I let throw the questions open to the panel here that I've got with me today, just curious, Renaud Lavillenie, is he going to be the likely gold medalist in the men's pole vault? Has anyone emerged to challenge him?
Well, he's definitely, you know, put out some great marks this season and, you know, obviously 6.02 in the recent London Diamond League, he is in shape. And I think this year he is a bit above the rest of them. So, you know, he's definitely going to be the one to beat. And
what's he like? I really like watching him.
Yeah, he's an animated character, isn't he? He's actually not as, like, you meet him and he's actually a lot smaller than you would think. He's not a tall pole vaulter at all, but he's extremely fast on the runway and really gymnastic and, you know, obviously jumps at amazing heights. And he's just consistent, consistently jumping over 580, 590 every time. So I think you'll see, if you get good conditions in Moscow, I think you'll see some big jumps from him.
And the women's pole vault, who do you like to win the gold in that?
Well, obviously this year you've got Izembayeva, the world record holder, who's, you know, home crowd for her, and that's going to be an advantage for her. And she hasn't competed too much this season, but she's always going to be a force to be reckoned with. But then you've also got Jen Sir, the Olympic champion from America, and Yaroslav Silva as well from Cuba, who's been in form and jumped 490 world lead this year, so it's certainly going to be a battle.
She's a bundle of energy, isn't she, Silva?
She is. Yeah, she is. There's not much of her. She's pretty small, but as I said, she runs really fast on the runway and just has a go. So she's very tough.
All right. Well, I've got all the pole vault questions out of the way. I'm a bit of a pole vault tragic, I'm afraid. But some of the other ladies have got a question.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Alana. Helen O'Neill. quite interested in the genetics of the family, your family, and the amazing record both your parents and your siblings have enjoyed. And I see that you've left your coach to come home and train under the guidance of your parents, Denise and Ray. So what, obviously they've got some great hints and things to pass on you, but what about in the area of sports science and things like that? Are you still under the guidance of your parents for that, or do you get in some outside help?
I mean, in terms of the sports science side of things, my parents will be the first to admit that they probably take more of an old school approach. You know, yeah. They were athletes themselves and had, I guess you would class that as old school coaches themselves, and now they have become a bit more like that. So I work with, I actually do my strength and conditioning training with a strength and conditioning coach, Kieran Young from the QAS, mm-hmm. and the Queensland Academy of Sport, and there's sports scientists there as well that assist with you know, things like getting velocities on the runway and that type of thing. In terms of the, I guess you can class the sports science side of it as in the video analysis that we do with my jump training. I have footage of my jump sessions taken. My mum is usually out there on the video camera, and we'll play it back straight away and watch my jumps, and then come home and have a look at jumps and compare it, slow it down frame for frame, and have a look and analyse the different aspects of my jump and where we can work on different things for the next jump or for the next session. So, you know, that having that video technology is a huge help in such technical events such as pole vault.
Any family feuds on the travelling together?
Not going to lie, yes.
I just thought I should point out for those who aren't sort of au fait with the details, your dad, Ray Boyd, was also was a Commonwealth Games champion in the pole vault. Is
yes,
that right? And your mum, Denise Robinson, in those days won gold in the 200 metres in the Commonwealth Games as well, and she made it to three Olympic finals. So that's why we're talking about your parents. I just thought some people might not know the background there.
Yeah. So I do have a good set of genes, I guess. but, yeah, there definitely you know, are some times where you know, I guess, you know, my family and I are very close, and, you know, obviously I know that my parents have my absolute best interests at heart and just want me to do the very best that I can possibly do. And, you know, but at the same time as well, as anyone can imagine, having your father or your parents as your coaches as well, sometimes it's easy to say things that perhaps you shouldn't, yeah. And get a little bit frustrated and all the rest, you know, because it is such a technical event, and there are frustrating times with injury and with the just the training in general. So, you know, but obviously, having worked with my dad and then going over and training in Perth with Alex for 3 years, I've come back with a bit more of a perspective on, you know, trying to separate, you know, father, daughter, and, you know, when we're on the track, it's coach and athlete. So, yeah, you know, it takes some work, but, you know, as I said, I completely, you know, have the utmost trust in my dad and, you know, the technical model that he's teaching me. So, yeah, it works well.
Hi, Alana, Carla. I just have a question. You touched on the performance analysis side of your sport these days. I know coming through netball, our instant PA feedback has changed significantly. How has that changed your performance and the way you approach your jumps and things?
Having it, you mean within the session and having to be able to have instant replay straight away,
yeah,
after a jump and then going back again?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can film it and then you can go home and look at the session and then come back the next day and make some changes. But having it being able to, you know, instant replay, sometimes you have it in your head or you're feeling something, you know, that you're doing, and then you watch it back and you think, oh, okay, well, that was actually better than I thought it was. You know, it either clarifies things or highlights things that you need to work on, and you can actually go back in real time straight away and work on that particular aspect. So, you know, it we use it a lot, and I think it's absolutely vital in such a technical event.
So. Yeah, it's funny. I watched Steve Hooker in Sydney a few years ago, and he was, you know, they're looking at replays on little handheld devices in between their jumps. So I didn't realise it had become quite that advanced. But Maria Cialis from Big League's got a question as well.
Hi. I just was wondering, as a whole, the Australian squad, do you sort of feel that there's a good chance for success in Moscow coming up?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think it's a relatively, you know, young team. There's a lot of rookies, well, first-time Australian playing team members on the team this year, which is fantastic. And but then again, we've got a lot of experience in, you know, the likes of Sally Pearson and Ben Harradine and Kim Mickle, Danny Samuels. So, you know, I think it'll be a good mix, and I'm very disappointed that I'm not there. But, you know, I think we've got some, you know, our throwers just seem to be going from strength to strength. And, you know, they've Kim and Danny have done really well in the Diamond Leagues this year. And then we've got the likes of Hamish Peacock, who's, you know, thrown a big qualifier in cold Tasmania in the middle of winter to make the team. So I think there'll be a lot of people that will just go in to the World Championships with their eyes wide open and surprise themselves. And I think we can do really well at these World Champs.
Have to ask about Sally Pearson. She was battling a little bit there, but she looked pretty good in London last weekend. Do you think she's back to her best?
Yeah, well, she's definitely, you know, a tough competitor and a fighter. And, you know, she has had a tough preparation into these World Championships. It hasn't gone as smoothly as it has for her in years gone by. But she's, you know, as I said, she's come back week in, week out and hasn't shied away from competition. And, you know, I think the win for her in London was really important for her confidence. And, you know, I know the time was a little bit better than it has been, which is fantastic, and it's coming down all the time. So I dare say she'll go into Moscow, you know, with that race in mind and that confidence and give it a real shot. You know, the hurdles, I think she has lowered, you know, I guess lowered the standard or you know, pushed the girls to see that it's possible to run those fast times and over the last couple of years. And as a result, you know, the competition has just got more fierce. So
yeah,
she's had a hand in that, and now, you know, she's the one that's battling, and she's got to try and, you know, try and keep up with the girls. But as I said, she's tough and she's experienced, and she'll certainly go in there and won't go wondering.
Okay, Alana Boyd, we're going to have to move on. Thanks so much for talking to us. Just just throw one name at us. Who do you wish you were in Moscow over the next couple of weeks to be able to see live competing?
I wish, to see live competing. Obviously, I'd have to say two. Bolt, he's obviously amazing to watch. You know, run the 100 and the 200, but also I'd like to see how high Lavillani can go.
So. Okay, great. Thanks, Alana Boyd. We'll be following the World Athletics Championships. And as we say goodbye to Alana, I should mention as well, congratulations to the Australian women's water polo team, the Stingers, who got a silver medal at their World Championships this morning. In a moment, we'll find out from Neve Owens what's coming up on Settling the Score after 2 o'clock.
On ABC Grandstand.
You're listening to ABC Grandstand's Hens FC.
Hens FC.
On ABC Local Radio.
Online and on Grandstand Digital.
We're about 10 minutes away from the news at 2 o'clock. After 2 o'clock, Neve Owens is with us. A short program today because we've got rugby league at 3 o'clock with the Auckland Warriors versus Cronulla Sharks.
That's it. So we'll take you live to that game from 3 o'clock over to New Zealand. Before that, we've got a heap to fit in. We're going to talk New South Wales Cup and Shoot Shield rugby as we always do. We're also going to talk Queensland Cup and Queensland Premier rugby this afternoon. All of the different comps starting to get to the pointy end of the season. We'll be joined by Stephen O'Keefe. It'll be lovely to be talking pleasantly positive Australian cricketing stories this afternoon. So Steve O'Keefe will be in, which will be great. We'll talk about the Super Rugby Grand Final coming up tonight. Of course, the ACT Brumbies up against the Chiefs in New Zealand. And we'll preview all three NRL games that are coming up this afternoon too, Deb. So we've got a big hour before we head to New Zealand for the Warriors-Sharks game.
Settling the score. They'll be cramming it all in this afternoon, Neve and the team. You're on Hens FC, meantime, with Debbie Spillane and my guest today, the panel. It's Carla Zawocki from the New South Wales Swifts netball team, Helen O'Neill, sports commentator from Newcastle, and also Maria Cialis from Big League Magazine. Now, ladies, there's something that happened this week that I've sort of heard about it, and then I actually tracked down some of the audio, and I just thought it just screamed out to be discussed on Hens FC. It came from the former golfing great Gary Player.
Hey, little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the door.
You know, when you're in love as a young man, naturally golf seems to take second place for a while, and that's natural. Love is still the greatest thing that ever happened in our lives. He'll come back strong. He's got to make sure he has a woman like I've got, who's been married for 56 years, that has only encouraged me to do well and made all the sacrifices, massive, living in South Africa and having to be away. He's got to find the right wife, and beauty is not the answer. He's got to be able to be intelligent and to find the right wife. If he finds the right wife, if he practices, if he's dedicated, a lot of ifs, he could be the man.
Don't send him off with your hair still in curlers. You may not see him again. For wives should always be lovers too.
I just thought a bit of Jack Jones went perfectly. I'm sure Gary Player is from the same era. That don't send him off with your hair in curlers. That's what Rory McIlroy needs. A nice stay-at-home wife who's going to look after him. What's the reaction, ladies? Carla?
Oh, don't they say behind every great man is a great woman? But why? I find that very. It's how many years are we going back in time here?
I know Gary Player is from that era, but Rory McIlroy has played a bit of a straight bat to it. For those who don't know, us all being sports nuts, we're probably aware of the fact that Rory McIlroy's girlfriend is a tennis player, Carla. I've got Carla on the brain now. Yeah, Carolyn Wozniacki, who was world number one when she met Rory McIlroy, and now she's number 10, so maybe she needs to find a stay-at-home husband.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think, Helen?
Hope my husband wasn't listening.
The Gary Player?
There's no chance that I don't use rollers, so I'm out of the equation anyway. That's interesting. It's very old school, isn't it? And in this day and age, you say behind every great man is a great woman, but you know, we have, the world's changed. We have same sex couples. We have, it's just all so different.
And why does she have to be behind?
Well, I think that saying was came out probably at the same time that the
Gary Player was doing that,
and Jack Jones did that song.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a nice thought, and that nice family unit. You know, it does give you a warm fuzzy. But
sometimes you ladies, so when you're busy, don't you wish sometimes you did have a wife who was at home cooking and getting your dinner ready, cleaning, ironing your clothes?
I know he's got a point. He's trying to make a point about Caroline, but isn't the good thing about them too as a couple is that they understand the intense sort of things they go through and sport and travelling. You'd think that would strengthen their relationship, not be detrimental to it. So
Yes, it's a fairly odd comment from Gary Player, but I guess one from his era. But how about you, Carla? Do you sometimes wish there was someone at home cooking and washing and looking
without
after?
Without a doubt. That would make my life so much easier. That, as you said, it's someone to – I'd love someone that would understand my schedule and probably have something similar that we can share the experiences. And I think that's the thing. It's about sharing. It's no one person sacrificing everything for the other.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I guess it was a fairly expected response from the ladies on the panel of Rory McIlroy and the advice that he's got from Gary Player.
Did Rory answer him back?
He just said, I didn't hear the comments. I've got great respect for him. But anyway, I just thought it was Jack Jones. You'll love this, haven't you? You can't believe this used to. It's actually Burt Bacharach's song.
Anyway, how did you know that?
My mum used to listen to Frank Sinatra all the time at home, and he did a version of that as well. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left of the program, and there's a lot of things that happened in sport this week that we're not going to have time to go into in detail. But, ladies, stand by. I'm going to play you our new segment. We're going to look at the pecking order. Here's about five stories this week that were in the news. I'm going to ask you which ones interest you the most and why after this.
The Brumbies are through to the Super Rugby final against the Chiefs next Saturday night in Hamilton. The Brumbies this morning defeated the Bulls 26-23 at Loftus Versfield.
The fastest man in the world, Usain Bolt, says he's willing to take on Mo Farah in a 600 or 800 metre race for charity.
The manager of Lauren Jackson says he's stunned Canberra has failed to meet a contract deadline, meaning the Opals superstar will not play in the upcoming season. Jackson's manager, John Elliott, says Jackson had received medical clearance to play after having chronic hamstring problems, and she was willing to accept delayed payments to play in the 2013-2014 season.
A member of the North Queensland Cowboys board says the sacked coach, Neil Henry, was not a good fit for the club. The Cowboys terminated Henry's contract a year early on Monday and are now searching for a new head coach. Ben Eichen has told Fox Sports there'll be other opportunities for Henry.
We extended his contract at the start of this year because we wanted to give him every chance to be the coach we believed he could be for that club.
Australia's positive start to the third Ashes test at Old Trafford has been overshadowed by another umpiring controversy involving the decision review system.
A bit of a chicken smorgasbord there for you, ladies. Maria Cialis, what do those stories interest you the most and why?
That Lauren Jackson thing is gobsmacking.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. So what, she's just not going to play?
No, apparently not in the WNBL. She'll go overseas and find a team. There'll be plenty of takers. One of the greatest women's basketballers of all time. Didn't get heaps of coverage, though, the Lauren Jackson story. That's, I think, amazing. A lot in Canberra. Helen, what's the top of your pecking order there?
Probably the Neil Henry sacking. You know, they wanted to give him time to be the best coach he could, but surely that goes back to our earlier comments about the drugs. And do rugby league clubs do their homework is the question that it asks for me, you know, be it the people you employ. And certainly when you employ a coach, you're not there to give him the best time. You want the results almost immediately. So I think that's a bit of a soft, you know, thanks, Neil, but see you later.
Yeah, you don't think, though, there's a fair argument there that he had on paper what looked like a pretty good team and has underachieved, essentially.
Yeah, so we always blame the coach in this country, surprisingly. Him and Mickey Arthur could probably have a beer together.
Carla Zawocki, which of those stories interests you the most?
I'm excited to see how the Brumbies go.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. I keep a bit of an eye on the rugby union, so I really hope that they do well. It's kind of a team that you wouldn't have given them too much of a chance, and I think they've really come through and done great.
Did they surprise you last weekend with that win in Pretoria?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think they've really batted above their average or what people have expected this season, and I really hope that they bring home the silverware.
And speaking of bringing home silverware and maybe a bit of gold as well, anyone but the swimming championships, world championships, hasn't been odd not really having
gone under the radar, hasn't it?
I mean, yeah. Kate Campbell picked up a gold medal today. That was a great effort.
Well, we've got the men's and the women's 100-metre world champions at the moment.
Yes, so. That's, and Magnussen, I think, you know, he's matured. I'm happy
so?
About that.
You're happy?
It's how you're going to mature in a couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah, so that's, I guess, swimming is paying the price for their bad behaviour and perhaps the still knocks stuff. Just shows you how a sport can fall from grace, but at least there's some results, so it might be...
And that was only sleeping pills.
Yeah, might be back on top reasonably soon. Quickly around the panel, what are you looking forward to that's coming up over the next week?
I like my AFL. I'm excited to see the Crows Port Showdown this Sunday.
Are you?
I am.
Why are you from Adelaide?
I am from Adelaide. I still have a soft spot for the Crows, so like to see how they're travelling. Keep an eye on the Swannies as well, being a partner with the Swifts. So, yeah, I just I like my AFL.
What about you, Helen?
Of the cricket, I'm interested to see how that wraps up and perhaps the demise of the DSR because no one seems to know what's
DRS,
going on.
DRS, yes.
Yes,
I was
thinking,
lucky my middle name doesn't start with an R because I'd be a DRS.
DRS, gone.
And, gone. Maria?
There's a lot of stuff on, but the Bulldogs play the Dragons on Monday, and that is a family rivalry to the extreme. So I'm very excited.
Your family, yeah. Well, I'll be on the sideline for that one when we cover it on Grandstand. Don't forget, coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we've got NRL from Auckland with the Warriors taking on the Sharks. And the Super Rugby final, you'll be able to listen to it here on ABC Grandstand from 5:30 tonight. Thanks to the Hens.